Hello, everyone. Sorry I'm a minute late. My Zoom app had to update this morning. I guess the good thing is that it updates automatically so that my shit works. So that's good. All right, let's get everybody in here. Let me pull up the chat so I can see y'all. Coach Judith is here. Which coach? Coach Lisa will be in the Q&A answering questions, and then I will answer some questions. We're going to go over a few things. This is 24-hour planning month. So what are we all doing? Tell me in the chat. What is our one thing we're supposed to do this month to help us set up for next month? Exactly. We are planning this month, doing our 24-hour plan using the bottom line or the full planner. Depends on which one you want to use. You can use that bottom line page, which is a great starter for anyone who is rushed with time, gets overwhelmed with journaling, just needs it to be quick, wants like the, what I would call like the, just the intro to it. So a lot of people are saying, I love the bottom line planning sheet. So please, if you have not gone to the self, to this, good Lord, my brain is like running 50 miles an hour. I've been up since 5 a.m. going strong. So if you will go to the self-study resources on the website, nobswomen.com, and you pull up the 24-hour planning course, it is a deep dive into the 24-hour plan. It helps you overcome a lot of the obstacles that you have about planning. It also is really good for those of you who don't follow your plan, who like don't understand why I would keep doing the plan even if I'm not following. The only way that you ever get good at following plans is if you consistently make them and figure out what stands in your way of following them. If you quit planning, you also quit finding reasons why it's hard to stay on plan. Notice how that works. So a lot of times what we want to do is we want to give up the planning because we feel bad about ourselves. It's like, oh my God, Corinne, I'm clutching my pearls and I'm falling on my fainting couch because I don't follow my plans. Must be something wrong with me. I'm the only no BS woman who does this. Bitch, first of all, that ain't true. Second, get your hands off your pearls and get your ass off the couch. Here's the deal. It is not bad that you don't follow plans. That's called a shitty thought. When you're making plans, focus on the idea that you are uncovering the excuses that you use to not follow the plan. You are uncovering uncomfortable feelings that you eat over. You will not know any of that stuff unless you are making plans. So don't quit planning because you are hard on yourself when you don't follow through. Instead of quitting the planning, let's quit being an asshole to ourselves. For some of you, the best lesson that you will learn to eventually lose all of your weight is to make mistakes with your eating and unlearn making this mean something's wrong with you, being so hard on yourself, acting like it's a, you know, reflection of your moral character or whatever it is, the shit you tell yourself. Until you learn, unlearn the being hard on yourself and stuff, you'll never lose all your weight. So think about like when you are going through planning. Yes, the goal is to follow the plan. But along the way to getting to the version of you who follows the plan, we have to figure out what excuses do I need to start unlearning? What uncomfortable feelings do I need to start exposing, changing my thinking around them, developing a level of being uncomfortable, those kinds of things. Because when I do all that, guess what? I overcome that shit. Following the plan becomes easier. But I'll never get to that version. So if there is a version of you who is one day making a 24-hour plan, following it with ease, and losing weight. That means today, the version of you who doesn't want to plan has to get into the habit of doing it anyway, so that one day it's just a habit. That means the version of you today who is like, if one version of you follows it with ease, that means you today has to unlearn beating yourself up when you don't follow it. Otherwise, the plan will never feel easy. You'll always be afraid you'll break. You might be able to follow it, but you'll be sitting there going, I'm afraid if I break it, I'll be like, it'll be terrible. So you'll still have fear. The reason why she feels like following the plan's easy is because she knows if she doesn't follow it, she's going to learn from it. That's why it feels so fucking easy. She's not sitting around worrying she won't follow it. She's not sitting around worrying that she'll feel bad if she doesn't. She gave that shit up for learning. That means you today has to notice, like, oh shit, here I am not following the plan and beating myself up. So before I can follow the plan, I got to figure out how to quit beating myself up so I can get to the learning fucking part of things. And if there's a version of you losing weight because she is following the plan, that means today there has to be a version of you that overrides that whatever you put on the plan is not good enough. Won't work for you. There's no way I can lose weight eating these things and all that other horseshit shenanigan that you go through. That means if that version of you is losing weight following doable plans, that means today there's a version of you who has to give doable plans a chance. That has to say, like, what's not good enough is sitting around trying to do it the old way simply because I'm scared. It's like, if you're going to be scared that you're not going to lose weight and you're doing it the old way and scared that you can't keep that up, or you're going to be scared that you can't follow it and that doing it doable won't work, guess what? We're going to pick the scared that fucking works. There is no glory in sitting around trying to continue to plan like an asshole where you know in your gut this is not who you want to be. So if you're going to be scared, let's just be scared that it won't work and give it a try. Who knows? You might prove yourself fucking wrong. All right. Let's do a few announcements. I got a couple things I want to add on to the tail end. Y'all can go ahead and start putting questions in the Q&A if you have questions for me, specifically about doable planning. Go ahead and put those in now so I can see them. And then I need to get my Q&A up. Here we go. I was like, where did it go? All right. We had another person join the Century Club this week. Let us all give it up with hearts and emojis in the Zoom for Laura Murphy. We also had 7 more No BS women this week hit maintenance. So they had lost their fucking weight. So if you are new to maintenance, or maybe you want to get a sneak peek into what will maintenance life be like, you can go to the maintenance course over in self-study resources and you can begin taking that. That will be super helpful for you. I find the new maintenance course to be fascinating. It's written for people who've lost their weight. But if you really want to see what maintenance life might look like, it may calm you down as you're losing weight. Please feel free to listen to some of those lessons just so you get an idea of what it's going to be like. Also, a lot of the lessons in there are talking about maintenance. But shit, y'all, as I've always said, we're going to lose it like we're going to live it. There's hardly anything going on in that maintenance course that I'm not like, every No BS woman should have to listen to this. So if you are so inclined, you're a deep dive diva, you do not get overwhelmed, you do not just sit and consume all the time. You're like consuming and doing, then you consume and do. Like, we consume and do. We don't just consume, y'all. Then what you can do is you can go ahead and listen to the maintenance course and see if you get some nuggets out of it to help you in this part of your journey. We also had 9 people join the Queen's Club, which means that they lost over 25 pounds. Y'all, if you don't get anything out of when we are doing the celebrations, please get this. It's possible for you. For all of you who are sitting around and thinking that you can't lose weight or whatever, it's such horseshit. Your brain is just wrong. You can. I was reading the other day, a lot of times people send us notes privately behind the scenes and email about just things that have changed for them. And someone wrote in the other day, I don't know her name, but she was 75 and she has lost 25 pounds. And she was like, I haven't lost 20 pounds in years. Like, since her 40s. She'd just given up. And just doing the simple things and just deciding, fuck this, I am trying this. Like, I'm going to do like she says. And lo and behold, the weight came off. I just promise y'all, so many of you who are sitting there, you love what I have to say, but you're so scared to try things. That is the only thing holding you back from losing weight. It is not that it's going to be hard. It's not that you're going to starve. It's not that you're going to have to go to bed eating your arm off every night. None of that stuff. We don't practice that here. The only thing stopping you is a thought that for some reason it's not going to work for you. I'll either get too hungry. I have too far to go. I'm too old. Well, I'm in the menopause, Corinne. Y'all have so many reasons why you can't lose weight, and none of you are looking around at all the women who are losing weight and thinking, now that's a reason why I can. There is someone in here with every condition known to man, every excuse known to man, over woman, every false perceived barrier, and it's happening for them. Not because they're special, but because they just decided that what they want has to be more important than what they're afraid of. So saddle up, bitches, grab your fears, shove them in your purse along with your balls, and get on the road. Because it can happen for you. All right. The only thing I wanted to touch on when it comes to the planning this week, other than just get fucking started, your shitty thoughts, is leveling up. So we talk a lot about leveling up here in NoBS, and I just want to make sure that y'all really understand the concept of leveling up. Leveling up is not something you do in the moment that you're perfect. Leveling up is one of those things that you do on your plan when you get a sense you're willing to try. And the more you learn not to beat yourself up, the easier challenging yourself a little bit and leveling up becomes. So a level up in simple terms is like when I was losing weight, one of the things that I'll give you three examples of the ways that I leveled up food. I'll give you four. I got thousands of them. I'll give you a few. The first is the one you probably heard a bajillion times, which is the ice cream. On day one, Corinne was not ready to give up that ice cream. Corinne wanted that ice cream. I was willing to level up movement. So I walked 15 minutes a day. I was willing to eat a little less breakfast. I looked for areas where I was like, it wouldn't be a big deal to do a little better in. But that ice cream, that first few weeks, no, do not touch my sacred ice cream. I wanted to sit down with my half gallon carton and a spoon and the Law and Ordies. I was a big Law and Order fan back in the day. And then I had a day where I was like, I know I can't quit eating ice cream right now, but what can I do? So I decided I would serve myself in a large bowl. And that I had decided on that day, I'm going to try eating out of a large bowl and I'm not going to go back to the carton. So I was used to eating just until I was sick, full, or out of ice cream. And I decided instead of doing that, I was just going to get a big ass bowl. I was going to put a bunch of ice cream in it, more than I thought I would need, because I did not have the willpower at that point to like measure and do shit like that. So that was my first level up. Eventually, that bowl became a smaller bowl, which became a smaller bowl. And eventually, I decided to try eating a serving. What would that be like? So as time went on, I was leveling up. A lot of you, what you want to do is you want to go from ice cream every night to a bowl of blueberries. That's fine if you can do it. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with going to blueberries, but you need to check in with your body. Are you like, I like to think of it this way. I used to do Tough Mudders. Tough Mudders are 10 plus mile obstacle races. And they would have like every Tough Mudder had a fucking 15-foot wall you had to climb and get over in the middle of the course. And usually it was a series of three. But when you first started the race, there was like a little 6 or 8 foot, I think it was maybe an 8 foot wall. So that wall was easy for my girlfriend to just boost me up and I'd jump on over and fall. And like, I knew I wasn't going to fall that far. I want y'all to think about your level ups that way. Some of you got to start with the wall that's easy to get over so that you can get your bearings about you, so you can see that you're going to be okay. But most of y'all want to start with the 15-foot wall. And like, you're going to need a lot of help. And you're going to be scared as shit. And you're like, when I would get to the top, I would be shaking like this because it's a long way down. And I'd be trying to figure out, how am I going to drop? And I'd be waiting for someone to come help me. It was very hard to navigate. Until I had done enough of them to get to the point where I learned, it's not as bad as I think. Someone always helps you, blah, 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 blah. I tell you this long ass story because you got to choose your battles when it comes to leveling up. You need to check in with yourself and just be honest and just tell yourself, if I'm not ready, that's fine. I don't need to be perfect at this before I level up, but I also don't need to go to perfection as the next step either. There's so many choices for me. So with pizza, we ordered pizza every night forever. I was never a cook. Like, I know y'all are like shocked and dismayed because like I've been a food prepper. I now find extravagant recipes for Aunt JJ to cook for us and stuff. But back in the day, when I first started, I couldn't even bake chicken. I couldn't do anything. I didn't know how to cut fruit. I didn't buy fruit because my mother had always told me fruit was really hard to prepare. So I ate pizza and drive-through, and we went out to eat like a religion. And Chris was fine with it. That's all he did when he was single. So we'd order pizza. We would order two. And guess what? Each of us would get down on our medium. And I would get down on my medium. And I would eat my medium. And he liked meat lovers. So we always ordered big-ass meat lovers and all kinds of shit. Well, eventually, we moved to a large. And we would share it. And then eventually, I was like, can we get half and half? I'm going to take the meat off and I'm going to add veggies to my half. Then we went to thin crust instead of thick crust. I just started making changes. I didn't go from ordering pizza to going to the store, buying some kind of flatbread and making Martha Stewart miracle happen. I weaned myself down. Then eventually I would go and buy bag salad and I would have a fucking salad and two pieces of pizza. And that's where I eventually got to. I did the same thing at IHOP. We went out to eat all the time. I went from full-on meat lover's omelet, pancakes, butter, and strawberry syrup to one day going like, let's skip butter. To another visit where I was like, instead of syrup, let me just try one of these pancakes. Maybe they put plenty of sugar in there. Lo and behold, they fucking do. Their pancakes are like cake. They're not like just straight dough where you need some maple syrup. And I realized like, I don't need the butter and I don't need the syrup. I was leveling up each time. The reason why I tell you all this is because when you learn how to level up in the smallest of ways, no matter what stage in your journey you're at, there is always a level up. Always. Even today in maintenance, I have ways I can level up. When you do that, you show yourself how you can commit. Your brain will love seeing you win. You give yourself the opportunity to be proud of yourself. Now, all you have to do is tell yourself over and over and over again when it's like, it's not good enough. It's going to take too long. It's going to come up with that stuff. Not because any of it's true. It's because your brain is going to throw up a lot of lies to keep you eating the same way you always have. But I just told myself, what's not good enough is not making changes at all. What's not good enough is making so many changes that I overwhelm myself. And I will tell you what I've always told myself, and please believe this. There is a version of you who has lost all of her weight. That is your future self. And do you know what she's not doing? She is not spending one minute wishing that you had went faster. She is not sitting around regretting that you didn't go faster for her. She's too fucking thrilled with where she's at. I want you to think about this. Do you know what she is? She is so grateful that you did it. She is so excited that you did it. So if your future self is not going to sit there and think about how long it took, that means you today has to shut it down when you do. And you have to be thinking about, what can I do today so that tomorrow I give myself the opportunity to wake up proud? What can I do today that if I keep doing things like it over time, that weight will come off? You don't fucking know how long it's going to take. It feels like forever because right now you're talking to yourself like an asshole. And in your mind, if you're talking to yourself like an asshole today, your brain thinks it's going to talk like an asshole from this moment forward. And that's what it's most afraid of. And I'm trying to teach you to quit talking like an asshole to yourself, because then the journey gets easier and faster and doesn't feel like it's taking a long time. The other thing about leveling up is it's more than just like the good, better, best. So you don't have to just like, if you use my examples, sometimes we're like when I make nachos at home, I'm using usually like I now like use half red pepper strips and stuff. And I put all the little toppings on there and stuff, but I just don't use chips anymore. If I'm making it for me and the boys, I use baked chips for all of us. So sometimes it can be quality of foods. It can be like, you know, replacing one thing with some gentle nutrition and stuff. Sometimes it's quantity. You just eat a little less of something than you have been eating. So leveling up can look a lot of different ways. And then the last thing I want to say about leveling up is a lot of times we think leveling up means we're making things harder on yourself. I've never thought about it that way. To me, leveling up means you're making things smarter for yourself. You're just making a few smart decisions of things that you're ready to try to just blow your mind. I promise every one of you, every one of you, when I was sitting on that couch at 250 pounds, if you had shown me my life today, that I wake up every day and I either go to the gym or I go for a walk, that I push myself hard. I just got back from the gym. Literally, I didn't even get to wash my hair. I did shower. That's why I look nice. But I had a huge shoulder and arm day. Lifting like a dude. If you had showed that version of me to her, she would have never thought she'd get there. She would have told you, but I'm not athletic. But I've never lifted weights before. I'm not strong. Like, weights are where the boys are, and the boys don't like girls like me who are big in the gym. That would have been my story back in the day. So I had to start somewhere. If you had shown future or old me how I eat today, that one of my favorite meals is a salad, you could have, that I rarely ever eat out anymore. I love our food at home because it's so delicious. That I found ways to make it all work for me. That, you know, I love nothing better than watermelon for dessert now. Sometimes I eat it 3 times a day. If you had shown that version to me, she would have thought, no, never. But I don't do fruit because it's too hard. But I don't know how to cook. But I didn't grow up eating vegetables. I like my McDonald's too much. I could never give that up. I did. But only because over a long period of time, I asked myself, what can you do? What can you do different today? What makes sense for you today? And eventually I started proving myself wrong. I stopped being afraid to try things because I wasn't trying things because I felt like I had to. I wasn't trying things because I was telling myself it's the only way to lose weight. I was open and curious to finding out what kind of new life I could have. Okay, that's what I want to do. That's what I wanted to talk to y'all about leveling up. Let's go to some questions. I feel like I have so many issues to work on at the same time. I'm struggling to figure out what to do first. Pick one. Vicky, it doesn't matter if you've got 20. It just matters. You can only work on one at a time anyway. So you just pick one. No one is better than the other. It does not matter where y'all start if you have lots of things to work on. Because what we're really doing is we're going to work on one thing so that we get really good at the skill of focusing on one thing, overcoming our excuses on the one thing, finding lots of different things to try with the one thing. Because once you do that and you overcome, like when you learn how to do those skills with one thing, then every other thing you try, it gets easier and easier and easier to solve those things. So you don't have to worry about like, which one's the best? I have so many. We all have so many. What are you even talking about? I don't know one woman that decided to sign up for no BS because she's got all her shit together, but one thing. Everybody's here because they ain't got their shit together on a lot of things and they need to learn how to do it. So she says, I'm planning every day, but not always sticking to it as I am an overeater and a binger. I have stopped weighing myself. I don't know. Trusting your body advice, but I don't know what to work on first. I would go with just simple overeating. Look for all the ways that you're overeating right now that are the easiest to clean up. What is the habitual eating that you're doing? Like, where are the mindless eats that you're doing? Start with low hanging fruit. So for you, I would just say like for the next few days, I want you to pay attention to everything you put in your mouth. I don't want you changing any of it. And I don't want you judging it. I just want you to notice, are there times I'm eating right now that's an overeat that I'm like, okay, this one, I think I could stop. So like, let's say that you eat while you're cooking dinner. That might be way easier to stop than what you eat at night after 8 o'clock. So let's start there. Let's get that knocked out. And then all you do with your 8 o'clock stuff is you just plan what you always eat. So you could just work on that for a while. You get to where all that's cleaned up, then you start going like, all right, I've been planning, you know, a sleeve of Oreos, a bag of chips and a donut every night after 8 o'clock, because I'm a binger. That's what I typically eat. So if you've been planning that now, like I'm going to get really good at this planning and I'm going to follow it. Then when 8 o'clock comes, if that's what you've been doing, then you start like, all right, if I've nailed not snacking, nibbling and grab assing through dinner, what I want to do now is I want to look at, could I give up the donut? Maybe I'm going to plan half a donut now with the sleeve of Oreos and a bag of chips. And I'm going to do that for a few days. Then I'm going to go with, all right, I'm going to do 3/4 of a sleeve of Oreos, half a donut, and the bag of chips. I think a lot of y'all really need to think about this. You may not be at a point yet, like there are going to be points of the day where you can wait for hunger and you can stop it enough. Let's get good at doing that at those points. There's other meals, not as easy. It just triggers all kinds of thinking and all kinds of stuff. So for now, in those areas, let's get really good at planning realistically. So if you are a sleeve of Oreos, a donut and a bag of chips every night at 8 o'clock, we need to get those on the plan and no longer break the plan. We need to first step, eat them with our conscious brain. Right now, what happens if you don't plan it thinking every night you shouldn't binge or every night you shouldn't be eating after 8 o'clock, but every night you go to eat, you're setting yourself up to have regret and shame. So then we're going to have to work on regret and shame and all this other stuff. To me, the easiest thing to do is plan that motherfucker the way you always do it. And what we're going to work on is we're going to work on eating it on purpose with all of your thoughts turned up instead of eating it like, fuck it, I'll start tomorrow. We don't want to practice that version of you anymore. You're already really good at fuck it. You're already really good at start tomorrow. You're already really good at watching TV and eating mindlessly. And you're already really good about feeling bad about yourself the next day and thinking you have too much to work on. That version of you is like working like a clock. We want to break that clock. So what we want to do is we want to plan it, and we want to sit there and we want to eat it, and we want to not tune out. Like, this is on my plan. And we don't tell ourselves, this is what I would not do. I would not say like, well, Corinne said I could eat anything I want and as much as I want and then expect weight loss. This is a long-term play. You're not going to lose weight immediately doing this. What you are going to do, though, is lose the bullshit excuses, lose the unconsciousness, and you're going to lose the habit of feeling terrible about yourself. Now what we're going to do is we're going to say, like, it's on the plan. This is me learning. Do I really want to continue this habit or not? So I'm going to eat, and I'm going to pay attention. And at any time I want to stop, I have permission. I also have permission to eat it because it's on the plan. But we don't tell ourselves, like this is what kills me. Y'all be like in shock and awe that you're doing that and be like, I don't know why I'm not losing weight. It's like, don't be in shock and awe. But right now, you got bigger fish to fry. We got to get this part solved before you can start cutting back. Before, like, we got to get momentum, we got to get conscious, we got to get a lot of things working so that when you do start pulling back on that eating and you're sitting with the urge isn't that 15-foot tough butter wall. It's now an 8-foot wall. So for some of you, that's what I want you doing. As I've lost, oh, and next month, by the way, all of you, we're working on urges all next month. So we gave you a few, like, we're using Urges 2.0. We've dusted off a couple things. There's a little bit of newness to it, along with some of the old stuff. We're reworking all of it, and we're going to focus on the urges. That's why I wanted you planning this month, because I want you to know, where are your urges? Because we're going to have lots of different calls next month to work through all different types of urges. So I want you to make sure that even if you've not been planning, it is August 24th. You still have a full week that you can be planning. And in 1 week, you can know what your overeating windows are, where your urges are and stuff. So get it done. By the way, everybody, please wish my mother a happy birthday. Today is Manny's birthday. All right. As I've lost weight, I've found that I tend to eat very little in the day. I'm struggling to let go of sugary treats and good foods in general. I don't know why you want to let go of your treats and your good foods. That's what we need to know. How do I work through this to let go of sugary treats to level up and keep losing? Eat a little less of them. Leave a couple of bites behind. See if there's a sugary treat you can sub. See if you can make a small shift to your good foods. So go get so if y'all don't know, in October, we are re-releasing modules 1 and 2 of the No BS program. I have redone the Good, Better, Best lesson. So that it's really going to talk a lot more about some stuff that I know that y'all need to hear. But the first thing I would do is go to the current Good, Better, Best lesson inside of module 1 of No BS. I would listen to it and I would do the worksheet. And I would take Leilani. Take your current sugary things that you're eating and your good foods that you want to level up. If you don't have any ideas, take it to the Facebook group and post like, I'm looking for better and best options for this. What would y'all do in quantity and in quality? You are not the first one that's going to level up some sugary treats at all. So I would take it over there to figure it out. How can I focus on doable hunger while also working to hit a protein goal each day? I'm pregnant and also working out several times a week. I'm working to get more protein in my diet along with more fiber. I've been using an app to help track those two, but have found myself dipping back into the calories portion of the app as well, which has then led to perfect plans happening, looking for ways to cut calories out of meals and then binging. Okay. Calories is not what I want to use these apps for, but it seems to be easy to fall back into that mentality, even though I know my true goal is to increase fiber and protein. So one thing, you might just have to manage your urges over looking at the calories. Like this is one of the things I would tell yourself is like, oh, I should probably not look at those calories, because when I look at the calories, I binge. If the result of looking at calories means I eat more calories, even though I know you're trying to cut them, I want you to see the reality of what's happening. But you need to tell yourself, oh yeah, when I look at the calories to try to cut some stuff back, I'm lying to myself. And I understand that you're pregnant. So when you're pregnant, you need to do some different things. I don't think there's anything wrong with what you're doing. For any of you, if you want to watch your protein intake, if you want to watch your fiber intake, if you want to watch those things, there's nothing wrong with it. For all of you, all that's happening is that's what you're putting on your do line of the think, feel, do cycle. But what's hosing Molly is her thought is, you know, in order to watch her protein and fiber, her thought is like something along, her thought is not, I'm curious about my protein and fiber to help me with my pregnancy. Her thought is, this is a good way to sneak in dieting. There's something going on there. So I don't care if you want, I look at protein sometimes. I'm lifting like a beast right now. If y'all, like, hell, before I got on this call, I texted Chris and said, I didn't get to do a protein shake. Can you go get me one? But that's not coming from diet mentality. Drinking a protein shake after a workout is not diet mentality. Now, if I thought something along the lines of like, oh, if you don't drink that protein shake, you're going to look like shit, that would be diet mentality. I'm just sitting here thinking like, my muscles are going to get every nutrient I can give them. I'm all in on muscle nutrition. There's nothing wrong with that. So for Molly, here's what I would do. If you like, if this is too triggering, stop using the app altogether and use common sense to get your protein and your fiber in. I don't count protein right now, but I do know that after a workout, I'm going to bring a protein shake. It's an easy way to get in protein for me. It's quick, it's tasty, and it does the job. I know that when I eat each meal, I'm going to have at least a fist size amount of protein in it. That's easy. Fiber is another easy one. Either take a fiber supplement. That's super fucking easy. Or vegetables. Nobody needs to overthink fiber. If you eat some vegetables, you're going to get it. You eat some fruit, you're going to get it. So if you want to, like, if it's triggering you to binge, then the healthier thing for you is to be like, let me stop all those shenanigans and the numbers don't matter. I'm just going to make sure every meal has protein in it. And then every meal has some fibrous foods, beans, whole grains, vegetables. I do that, I'm good to go. And then I will just tell you, when I was pregnant, I had to take fiber supplements or I would get constipated as crap. Like, so bad. There was like two different times I went on like lockdown. I don't advise it for anyone. So I just took a fiber supplement every day. That really helped me. I have more than 100 pounds to lose and the small level ups feel inconsequential. So I ended up not doing anything. Oh, so if it's inconsequential, I'd rather have something that's like hardly going to matter than nothing. Look at what you're saying. It's like, well, they feel inconsequential. That's because you're thinking about them wrong. If you want something, if you want to have a shady thought, think like doing nothing sucks. I'd rather do something small than nothing at all. Let me tell you, like, I'm no math wizard, but 1 + 1 = 2. 0 + 0 = 0. So I'd rather do the one thing that feels inconsequential and get a 2 than to do jack shit because I'm letting my brain lie. You're misinterpreting what's happening. That is all that's happening. I don't know how to accept the thought that the small changes are good enough. No changes are not good enough. You've got to tell yourself that. No changes are not good enough. Small changes change something. Where do you want to be in 60 days? Sitting around with a collection of zero? Or would you like to have 60 days where you did shit? and it added up. This is what's so crazy. Y'all have to think bigger than just today. Like in 60 days, if you've got over 100 pounds to lose, my first 60 days, I lost like 20 pounds and I was still sitting on the couch with my ice cream. So don't tell me some fucking lie that it ain't going to matter. All of you. It matters. The thought that it won't matter, that's the lie. That's what you've got to guard against. I know that if you have 100 pounds to lose, and like, don't waste the opportunity ahead of you. When you have 100 pounds to lose, you have these, this is, and for all of you that have only like 10 or 20 pounds to lose, like, everybody's losing so much amount of weight, and I wish that I could do little small things and it would work. All of you can. All of you have tiny thought shifts you need to make, tiny level ups that you need to make. Everybody is sitting around thinking about how small things don't work, whether they've got 100 pounds to lose or 10 pounds to lose. Notice the similarity. For someone that has over 100 pounds to lose, it is so hard to do the small things. Their work is to do the small things and work on their mindset because they're scared as fuck. They're hopeless. They have all these things. Then you got your 10 pounds to lose people who y'all don't like have as much of that, but you have so much resistance. You have so much pull to the way you've done things always. You have so much fear that if you try it my way, that for some reason you're going to lose some kind of wild ass control. I don't care how much weight you got to lose. If you use your mind against yourself, it won't matter. And you're using your mind against yourself. You know it's bullshit. Think about it. When like you're like, how do I accept the thought small changes are good enough? You don't. You know what you do? You do small changes every day and you make yourself do them to see if you're wrong. Go with that. Don't go with acceptance right now. Just accept this. Doing nothing for fuck sure is not working. That we got. So I've already tested doing nothing and that doesn't work. So now I'm going to test doing small things and I'm going to think they're not going to work, but I'm going to do them anyway because I'm just going to bet that I'm wrong. Because if I'm like, I'm just going to bet I'm wrong. You wouldn't be here if you're so right about all your thoughts about weight loss. So for some of you, believe me instead of you. Just believe me. Just decide. I'm going to believe Corinne. Here's what I can promise all of you. I am not here to steer you wrong. There's not one thing in me that wants to have you stay in no BS a minute longer than you need to be. Now, if you want to be here for the rest of your life because you love us, and then once you lose your weight, it just, you continue to grow and evolve and it helps you stay motivated. It helps you fall in love with yourself. That's awesome. But I can promise you this. I have not rigged my system to ensure failure, to steer you in the wrong weight loss path just to be able to have a business. There are diets that do that out there. This is not one of them. So if you can't believe that small changes are good enough, at least accept that Corinne would never give me advice that she doesn't believe in and that works. That is the truth. If any of you knew how much time I spend thinking about you, writing about you, coming up with new ways to teach you, and you multiply that by the 25 people on my team, you better believe We are trying to make sure you have what you need to lose weight. But at some point, if your brain will not let go of its doubts and fears, at least say like, great, I've got doubts and fears, but I also have trust and belief that this group of bitches ain't gonna steer me wrong. There must be something to it because people are losing weight. I might as well try it and doubt it until it works. For some of you, you just need to be afraid of it and doubt it until it's working. Then guess what? You're giving yourself the gift of it working, and then it's like, oh yeah, now it's a lot easier to think that this works. So at least allow yourself that gift one day. Right now, you're giving it nothing. You're giving it nothing. All right. Are there some foods that just have addictive qualities that make it hard to stop eating? How do I handle those foods? Sometimes I think I should not even have those foods in my house because they hose me. I don't think it's useful to think about foods that way. It sets us up for fear. What I like to think about is our relationship with food has been bastardized, and it's on us to normalize the relationship. I just don't believe that there's any foods out there we should just not be eating because they're addictive or they're this, that, and the other. Now, some foods, if you're diabetic, yeah, you probably shouldn't eat sugar. If you're going through cancer, there's probably foods that you need to stay away from right now to give your body the best chance it can. But overall, when we're just talking like theoretically about food, I've never met anyone that has said that thinking about there being addictive foods and stuff in that way has helped them normalize their relationship with food, gain control and power. So in my mind, I'm just like, let's work on clean slating food. There are foods I overeat, and I want to learn how not to do that. It's way better than thinking there are foods that I'm addicted to that keep hosing me. Maybe I shouldn't keep them. That just feels punitive and weak. If you notice, there are foods right now that I overeat. It's really hard for me to say no to. I'm going to take them out of the house for a little while so that I give myself a chance to see what my life could be like without them. That's not a bad way to think about it. If you think about it, that's you taking control and authority, not because the foods are addictive, because you realize it's like, I want to set myself up to have more wins. So for like a long time, when I was bodybuilding, we had a super restrictive diet. So after I'd lost all my weight, I decided to do these figure competitions, which are like muscular bikini competitions, basically, if you don't know what they are. And you've got to get severely underweight. Like you really have to be underweight to just get on stage. I was looking at some pictures the other day and I was like, oh my God, I looked like a sack of skin and bones. Not a good look for Corinne. And was very hard on me. And it really ripped my relationship with food up. I had such a good one losing weight the way I lost my weight, the way I teach y'all. And then I did these things. And I mean, it took me years to normalize my relationship back to food. So when I was doing these diets, we would be so calorie restricted. And a lot of times they would remove all the sugar and all the fat out of our diets. We're literally living on vegetables and protein. It's just not healthy. And so I would feel awful. I'd feel like shit. And I'd get to a point in the middle of the week where I had a primal desire to eat. And I would sit with a jar of peanut butter in the afternoon and I would just eat so much peanut butter because it had just enough sugar in it and it had fat. My body was really malnourished and screaming for it. And it felt uncontrollable. So when I got done with all of those years where I competed, I really wanted to normalize my relationship with food. But I had developed this habit of just eating peanut butter without abandon. And I, for a while, took it out of my house. And I just told Chris, I was like, I don't want to keep it in the house because right now I just want to reset my relationship with food. And working on peanut butter right now it's too hard. I want to set myself up for ease. I want to, reintroduce fruits and reintroduce all these foods that I was never allowed to eat for like 4 years. And so I did that. And then I started bringing peanut butter back in. And it was hard at first because every old thought, every trigger came right back to the surface. But because I'd normalized my relationship with food, I'd gotten my nutrition dialed back in. I'd put good, healthy weight back on and stuff. I then had the power to work on it. I had the emotional energy to work on it. I was telling somebody the other day, I think one of the reasons why I'm just so good at what I do when it comes to weight loss is I really understand lots and lots of different things that happen to us in weight. I remember just being overweight and bullied and that story. I remember like having a bastardized relationship with food from my competition years and having to reset how I thought about diet rules and diet food, your body being judged and all kinds of stuff. I just went through so many different things throughout my journey. And I think that's why it's so easy for me to talk to y'all about just what we all go through and how we're going to reset our relationships with food and how we're going to do it from strength and empowerment. And we're not going to keep doing it the way we've always learned, which in the diet industry is all about restriction. Like something's wrong with you, so we need to cut these foods out. Like you're weak, so we shouldn't eat these things. And we're not doing that here. I don't think it's beneficial. I've been struggling with salty snack cravings. I've planned them, but seem to overeat them. Any suggestions on how to combat the craving versus planning it? Plan it, but try giving yourself portions. So like sometimes, like I don't really teach portioning things except in cases like this, where you need to get used to eating the portion. So like back to peanut butter, I did the same thing with nuts. Like I can just like when I was bodybuilding, it was, I would never advise anybody to do a figure competition or a bikini competition. It's ripe with body dysmorphia, ripe with eating disorders. It's really like a fertile ground for all of that. So, but here I am doing these things. And I've gotten to where, like, I would just want to eat all the nuts, because my body was so deprived. So a lot of us want to overeat these things. They taste good. They're salty or whatever. So what I did was, I made an agreement with myself that when I brought food into the house, and I did this for years and I still do this. If there are certain foods that are going to trigger me to want to just, let me just sit on the couch and eat it. Like our little crackers right now. We have these rice crackers that me and Chris love. They are so fucking crunchy. He eats a whole bag. There's like, I think 3.5 servings in there. But I love them with my salads. And so I noticed that I was just eating out of the bag, and I'm pretty good at stopping before I finish the bag, but I know I'm eating more than I really need because, you know, after like when you're just eating, sometimes you don't know you're full yet until it's too late because you're just, I've checked out. I'm not paying attention. I'm just eating shit or crackers and with my salad and stuff. So when we bring things in the house, and it's stuff that's easy for me to just keep going, we portion it before we put it away. It does not go in the pantry. There's no expecting Corinne later to portion it. It's like, no, it gets portioned when we walk in the door. Because what I want is to set the version of me up for success who wants crackers with her salad every night after a long day. I don't want her to have to like sit there and try to stop eating and do all the things. What I want for her is to enjoy her fucking crackers because she planned them. Period. So some things, just portion stuff, y'all. Because for me, what happens is when I portion something that I am like, it's just easy to keep going on. There is just enough time, but so I'll grab my bag, go eat my food. And when I want more, I have to get my happy ass up, walk all the way to the pantry and get it. From the walk from the couch to the pantry, I give my conscious brain an opportunity to say, do you really want that? If the bag is sitting there and like, let's say it's cracker 14, My conscious brain is not going to come online between 14 and 15 at all. But if to get the 15th one, I got to walk all the way back to the pantry to do it, I give myself an opportunity to say, are you sure? Have you checked in? Could you maybe wait 15 minutes? And if you wait 15 minutes and you still want it, go right ahead. But if after 15 minutes you notice that, oh, I think I've had enough, I'll be okay, I can have crackers later, whatever, I've given myself the gift of the pause. And that's what we want to be thinking about. So this is important, and I want all of you to hear me when I say this. A lot of times when I talk to y'all about tactics, like portioning and things like that, y'all are like, isn't that diet mentality? No, diet mentality is a thought. So in the think, feel, do cycle, doing these things is just what we do. How we think about it decides if it's diet mentality. So if you're thinking, I'm addicted and can't control myself, and then your do line is portion everything, then you're probably over portioning, portioning shit you don't need to, worrying about other foods, looking for all the things you're addicted to. Bad thing, feel, do cycle. For me, the difference is when I'm doing those things, I'm like, I just make it easy for myself when I eat. I want it to be easy. I want to not overeat. So I want to make sure that I put in measures to where I have to think first before I do it. I want to give myself the opportunity to talk myself out of eating more than I need. And this is a good way to do it. That feels relaxing. That feels like a gift. That feels like, Kryn, I got your back. I am thinking about you in a loving way. All right, y'all. That's it for the day. I will see y'all on Sunday for coaching. And just have a good week. Keep planning. Please, if you got something out of today, go to the Facebook group. Share what you got out of today's Q&A. And if you do share, please let everybody know the replay will drop on Friday and they don't want to miss it. But make sure you add that the replay drops on Friday, because sometimes what happens, y'all get in there and like brag about being here live and how great it was. And then they're like, where is this magic? And then we just want to make sure everybody knows replays are on Tuesdays and Fridays. So this one will release on Friday. All right. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.